Robert, one of the things, again, that I know about you is, again, you went through with the business with the wallets and all that kind of stuff and the Velcro stuff, and then you were in the training arena for quite a while, and it was actually, that's where I met you. And then it was after that it seemed like all of a sudden you decided to do something else other than the training arena. And I suppose at that point in time, I remember you went down to Arizona and you got involved in, I suppose, the real estate arena. Or what happened? Like, I mean, there was this major turn from the time you were in the training arena, and then all of a sudden, but 3 or 4 years later, things started to really change. It seemed like you got a different route, a different set of knowledge, a different set of skills, or something happened that dramatically changed things.
Yeah, I mean, but actually nothing changed. I mean, I've been doing the same thing since 1974. And all I was doing was being faithful and making my mistakes and plodding along and learning. I mean, the reason I was in the training arena, well, first of all, the reason I was in the wallet arena was not because I like wallets. You know, I meet somebody who says, you have to love your product. That's not my experience. I hate nylon wallets. I still carry a nylon. I still have a Velcro. I mean, I still have a Mont Blanc leather wallet. I don't carry leather wallets. But I wanted to learn how to build a company, and my friends wanted to build this wallet company. So we built the wallet company not because I loved the product, but I wanted the experience of building a worldwide company, and I built that company. Then after I built that company, I realized I had to learn how to teach if I was going to be a teacher, because I hated schools. So I sought the best teachers I could find, mentors throughout the world, who could teach. So that's why I started teaching and all those things. That's when I met Harv. And then after I learned that, then I said, what's the next thing I have to learn how to do? And I said, I need to convert my intellectual property, which is what I've learned these years, into intellectual capital. There's a big difference between property and capital. So by taking my experience, converting it into a book, I was taking intellectual property and converting it to capital into a book, as well as my board game cash. So I was taking my experiences, 20-some-odd years, and putting them into property, which is trademarks and patents in a whole other world. So I've been in the same business. I've just been learning different things in the business. And I think that's the biggest difference. I think what most people do when they get trapped at the S quadrant is they don't take what they've learned and convert it to another form, another genesis. It's like going through the eye of the needle. You know, you take mind, what's in your mind. Your body can't pass the needle, but you can pass your thoughts through the eye of the needle. And that's the conversion of intellectual property where I was teaching every single day. And I converted it to intellectual capital, a book. And from there, my experience of building a wallet company took that book, and I built basically a publishing company with my board games and all that. And now my board game cash flow is in Japanese, and it's on retail shelves all throughout Japan. If you think I got rich in America, you're kidding me. I got rich in China and Japan. I make a fortune here, but by taking my property, what I was physically doing it and converting it to capital, i.e. books and games, I could leverage it just as I did my wallet throughout the world. And then I set it up corporately that I don't get paid directly. I get paid royalties from other companies to produce my products for me. And then I invest in real estate. And the reason I'm in Phoenix is because the real estate market had crashed in Phoenix back in 1990, and they were giving away the best real estate in the world for free. So nothing has changed. I'm in business, I build companies, and I buy real estate. But I was changing. That's the difference.
So that seems to be your MO. You, and we talk about this in our Millionaire Mind Intensive also, is that you seem to utilize the money from your businesses. And seems that, I'm not sure obviously, but it seems that most of your money seems to go into real estate. Is that correct?
Most of it, yeah.
So if you were today going to say again to this group of people or to myself, whatever, say, look, based on the times today, if you want to really create some serious passive income, what are the vehicles to get into at this point in time?
Well, I think the most important thing is doing what you guys are doing now, which is getting educated. See, the way I did it is not the way that everybody else can do it. So there's basically three asset classes. There's paper assets, such as stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. And the people that got rich in that weren't the people buying these things. I mean, Bill Gates didn't become rich buying shares of Microsoft. He became rich selling shares of Microsoft. He basically took his property and turned it into intellectual capital. And then the second asset class are businesses. And that's the B quadrant. So last week I had two venture capitalists come to ask me if I wanted to sell my company, Rich Dad. And they offered me in the hundreds of millions of dollars. That's a lot of money. And then the third piece of asset class is real estate. So I play all three markets. I have right now, I have some mutual funds, some stocks. I have businesses, and I have real estate. But the reason I don't like stocks is because I'm not computer literate, and I don't like sitting there watching the screen trading options. The reason I love real estate is, number one, for tax reasons. The government, number two, is that my banker will lend me money for real estate. Ask your banker if they'll lend you money for a mutual fund. The answer is no. And the third reason I love, so I can use my banker's money in real estate, and so I have huge leverage. Last month I borrowed $6 million from my bank. I had to put up two, the bank put up six, but it puts in my pocket every single month $45,000 net cash flow from the tax-free. I mean, $45,000 US per month, you can live on that much. But I do two of those deals per year. And so the third reason I love real estate is because I'm lazy. Every month checks come in. You know, I make over $150,000 a month just in cash flow from my investments. So when people tell me real estate is not liquid, I go, well, where are you coming from? You know, $150,000 a month liquid cash flow is very liquid. So all I say is this: if you're really good with the computers, you're very literate, you can read numbers really quickly, then maybe playing the options market on the computer is good for you. But it's not good for me. And besides, I like real estate because I'm really slow, and my banker will lend me the money. Those are the reasons. And the tax laws are in favor of real estate. The other thing, too, as a Canadian, it's really, really easy to become a U.S. citizen. You just go to Nevada and file as a Nevada corporation, and you can do everything I do here in America. I do the same thing in Canada. I have a Yukon Territory Corporation, a B.C. Corporation, and an Ontario Corporation. You got to play the game the way the rich do. Okay, so it's real simple.
So you're saying, just one more time, that Nevada corporation, anybody can start a Nevada corporation, and what will that do for you?
You could be an Al-Qaeda member and form an a corporation.
Well, I didn't mean anybody could start.
No, I'm serious, because you know why? The reason Nevada is such a great state is because Nevada has no reciprocity with the federal government, U.S. federal government. It will not say to the federal government who owns a corporation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know why that happened? Is because a little organization called the Cosa Nostra lives there.
I think some people didn't hear that. Can you just repeat that one again?
Well, the biggest business in Nevada is the mafia.
Okay.
So that's why the tax laws, the corporate laws in Nevada, they say they will never ask you to put your name. So you can form, let's say you create XYZ Corporation, they don't ask you for your name.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They don't ask you for your country of residence. So by being a Nevada corporation, it's very similar to being a U.S. citizen. But I do the same thing in China and Australia and different islands in the Pacific. It's all covered in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, The Power of Corporations.
So what you're saying then is that if someone was to open a Nevada corporation, then they could utilize that corporation to pay their taxes.
No, they could use that corporation to invest in America and do business in America. You don't need a green card.
Right. Okay. So you do business in America, and then where are you taxed?
Well, you have to ask your accountant that. Hopefully, you have a good one.
I know the answer.
No, I mean everything is different. I mean, there's no answer. You know what I mean? Everybody's a different situation. I have a lot of friends who are Canadians who have Nevada corporations who live in California but are Canadian citizens.
So,
except they don't make any money in Canada.
Right.
Now, you got to do it legally. I'm not saying do anything illegally. You know, the reason you don't want to go to jail is because, I don't want to go to jail because I don't want to be somebody's boyfriend, you know?
Good point. Yes. One of the things that there's people here from all over, mostly Alberta, British Columbia, Washington State, but definitely all over Canada and the United States. You know, one of the things about we've been hearing quite a bit about real estate. I know that seems to be your favorite arena because I know it's one of the areas you know really well. Do you believe that, you know, the markets are favorable for real estate right now? Does it not take market? Does it take knowledge? What is it that makes a successful real estate investor?
Well, it takes knowledge because it's not real estate. You see, I mean, if you're an idiot, it doesn't make a difference what you invest in. You're still an idiot, you know?
That's another good point, yes.
And in fact, you know, if you're a fool...
Still an idiot, yes.
It's pretty obvious, isn't it? So, what was I going to say? Oh, a lot of people think that if I buy, you know, let's say they're having financial problems at home, and so I've had this happen to me a dozen times. They come up to me and say, should I invest in real estate? I said, no. You know, if you have problems at home and you go buy a second piece of real estate, you got two problems, you and your real estate now. Because the problem you have will be transferred into that second property, a third property, a fourth property. If you're a poor money manager and you start a business, your problems will be magnified in that business. And if you have money problems at home and you go and you buy stock, your same money problems will follow you because you're the problem. So you've really got to address yourself first. And that's why and no man is an island, and no person is that smart. That's why I have smart advisors around. So I ask smart people. What most people do is they want to go cheap, so they look for free advice. And as my rich dad said, the most expensive advice you get is free advice. And that's what I was talking about, false profit and all that. So where most people get their stock information from is your brother-in-law who's an idiot, or the guy at your office who got a hot stock tip, or somebody who's thinking about dabbling in real estate. If you're going to be successful, you want to hang out, number one, with people much smarter than you, people who have been down the road with you. And not to be sexist, but this friend of mine who's a preacher says that a lot of times an average-looking woman, to look more beautiful, she'll hang out with three ugly women. And that's what most people are doing. He wasn't talking about women. Women, most of us don't hang out with people who are smarter than us. We hang out with people more stupid than us. And if you're going to be successful, you have to be willing to hang out with people who make you feel uncomfortable because you're either ugly, fat, or poor. And you want to hang out with them.
Three more good points, yes. Robert, you have a really interesting way of putting things. And we love it. Yes? So what's the point?
If you're fat, ugly, and poor, don't hang out with ugly people.
Onward. Anyway.
Onward. I think it's Tony Robbins says if you take stock of the six people around you, you'll see your future. So if you're six closest, you know, the people you work with, your fellow employees, let's say, that's your future. So you see your future by taking stock of the six people around you. Look at, you know, my wife Kim, Harvest met her. She's gorgeous, she's thin, she's rich, she's self-made, she has her own corporation. She is richer than most men in America. You know, so that's my wife. And my best friend is Inc. Magazine Entrepreneur of the Year, multimillionaires. And they're horrible to be around because they'll pick on you if you're not successful. And most losers hang out with people who won't pick on them. That's their losers. So if you're going to be successful, you know, like, you got to hang out. Like, look, wealth and health are not done at work. Health and wealth are done in your spare time. So that's why your friends are very important. You know, if you're sitting with your friends watching Canadian Football League or the NFL and eating Cheetos, you're in big trouble, you know? if that's what your friends are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is. That's why I say I'm jealous that you guys are there, because I would rather hang out with people who are learning, like your group is, Harv. I'd rather hang out with people going somewhere, even though they have no idea where they're going. At least they're going somewhere.